Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com,
this is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jerksica.
And I'm Lady Amy.
And we three here, this is a strange combination. We haven't done this one before.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. Usually it's just me and Chris.
Or just me and Jerksica.
Shaking it up.
Three but seven. Never just Jerksica and Amy.
No, that's never happened.
Oh.
We're here to talk to you about the wonderful show that is Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Yay!
Bump, bump.
Lady Amy, this was your choice of topic for the week, especially because you may be going back to China soon.
That's true. And first of all, can I just talk about how much I love Law & Order?
That's a good part, good way to start.
Yeah, especially SVU, which I think is the best Law & Order. And I'm not really sure why it's the only one that's, like, continuing on.
It's the only one.
Yeah. Currently, it's the only Law & Order that's still on the air. But not the longest running, because the original Law & Order was, like, 20 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Weren't there four even up to last year? I mean, weren't there was three canceled in 11?
No, there was only... They had the new one, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Law & Order, SVU, Criminal Intent, and Los Angeles. Oh. And actually, NBC decided to ditch the original Law & Order and take a chance on Los Angeles.
Right.
Which was a horrible mistake.
Yeah, that crashed and burned. I actually, do you remember watching, there was two seasons of Law & Order Trial by Jury?
No.
No.
That's when I kind of missed.
Was that focused more on the, like, legal proceedings?
Yeah, so it was from the jury's perspective. Like, you'd have your lawyer characters from the original Law & Order, but then you'd always see, like, the jury in the jury room, and me being a 12 Angry Men fanatic, I really enjoyed that.
I might enjoy that more, because one of my beefs with Law & Order generally, but, you know, including Special Victims Unit, is that the investigators, the police officers, are always way more involved in the legal proceedings than I think they
yeah,
would be
you
normally.
You get pretty miffed about that.
Well, because they start, you know...
Spoiler alert, Jerks like, has a lawyer.
Well, they start getting involved in, like, trial strategy. So it also annoys me when on other shows, like The Good Wife or other,
right,
you know, lawyer shows where the lawyers are doing police work. It makes, yeah. I mean, it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
But sometimes on Law & Order, the lawyers do the police work as well, or, like, the ADA will do the police work.
Right.
And that, I'm kind of like, that's not your job. You don't usually come in until, like, it's time to... You know,
I love both of the ADAs that are on Special Victims Unit.
Oh!
I think they're both fantastic.
Speaking of ADAs,
yeah.
Sorry, sidetrack, but Chris, Jerksica, and I just saw Mission Impossible 4 this weekend. And did
Ghost
you know
Protocol.
That... Yeah, Ghost Protocol. Did you know that Paula...
Patton?
Yeah, that's the one. Was actually an ADA for one episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. She kind of fits that mold.
Mm.
Like Stephanie Marsh. Who's the other ADA that's currently on the show?
Her name's Diane something. You'd recognize her.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't like that they're just going through... ADAs like water.
No, but the two of them are still on.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they,
okay.
They alternate the season between the two.
Did we see it? Watch. So, okay, so back up a second.
Right.
Lady Amy suggested Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Jerks and I were fans of the show back in the day, but we've honestly kind of stopped watching it over time. But Lady Amy getting her American fix of television in, having been home for a few months from her time abroad, convinced Jerks and I that even in a post-Stabler era, it was still worth watching.
Yeah, I think it just, you got like Law & Order ad nauseum.
Yeah,
it was on too much.
It's very easy to OD on it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I've been watching Law & Order pretty consistently every night since I've been home.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, it is pretty intense, but it's also really awesome and also kind of scary late at night right before bed.
Yeah, we did that for a good while when we moved into our condo, especially when Netflix started doing the online streaming.
Mm.
That was one of the main shows that they had several seasons and episodes of. And so we burned through at least two or three a night.
You sound really old saying that.
Back when Netflix started streaming. Back when they decided that DVDs wouldn't stick around for too much longer.
But it does always seem to be on. It's like if there's ever like a 1 or 2 hour gap in television during prime time, they'll like, let's just stick another Law & Order episode in there.
They,
and I love it. Can't argue with it.
Yeah. Every holiday for TBS or TNT, they come up with an excuse. Like, it's New Year's, Law and Order. What's the connection? Who knows why, but they show you 24
episodes. A lot of crime happens at New Year's, Chris.
Oh, good point, good point. Mm-hmm. We should mention, since we mentioned Netflix, that that is our sponsor here for Bloggy Later Radio, and you can go to bit.ly/blogflix to get a free 2-week trial of Netflix and catch up on your Law and Order Special Victims Unit, courtesy of Bloggy Later Radio and Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. You're also supporting us as a program and Fancy Pants Gangsters as a network, run completely by volunteers when you do that.
Wait, I'm not getting paid for this?
Oh, God.
We're going to send you a check.
Yep, yeah, check. You'll get it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
bit.ly/BLOGFLIX. Back to the Law and Order.
Back to Law and Order. So, Jessica's just putting that in as like a place bump, marker.
Uh-huh.
For
bump, bump.
We'll put the real effect in later bump. If I'm not too lazy.
True. Okay.
So,
right, now I'm sidetracked.
What were we talking about? We were talking about Mission Impossible. How'd that happen?
Paula.
Oh, yeah. ADAs. Okay. So, first off, so let's start at the beginning.
All right.
So, the reason I think that SVU largely has succeeded more than the others is possibly twofold. Its subject matter, it kind of started the whole crime show fad of making it all about whose semen it is. Is that too presumptuous of me?
I think that was actually the original working title. It was Law and Order, colon, whose semen is it?
But so I think that's part of it. I think that's it's got this weird allure to it comparatively to the other Law and Order shows.
Plus, also, everyone likes sex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, who doesn't like sex?
Right.
Not asexuals. I mean, what?
Huh? All right. Second fold.
You got Stabler and Benson, and I think we can agree that when Stabler and Benson were at the height, they were kind of like the badassiest.
What do you mean at the height? The whole series was at the height.
The whole first 12 seasons.
Yeah, the whole first 12 seasons.
Every episode is exactly the same formula.
That's true. So how can you really have a height if it just is one plateau?
Hello, that's how you make ratings in television. Every episode is the same formula.
That's how you make gold.
It is, kind of.
Yeah. But you can convince us now in its 13th season, now that whatever his name, Sam the Eagle, or whoever plays Stabler.
Christopher Maloney.
Thank you.
Hmm.
Now that he's departed, it's still worth watching. So how did you stick with it so much?
Well, I wouldn't say that I actually stuck with it so much as left the country. Oh my gosh, Stabler's gone! Oh, Law and Order's on TV like it always is. I'll watch it, and then kind of fell back into it.
And it's a show that doesn't require your loyalty. I mean, you can skip 3 years of SVU and come back and, you know.
Because of that formula, every episode's the same, so you don't need, it's not a serial.
Right. Mm-hmm. We got back into it pretty easily last night.
Mm-hmm.
Jerkska and I watched 4 episodes, kind of 4 in a row.
Hmm.
And it felt like it felt easier than brushing my teeth.
I thought you were going to say it, and it felt good.
I'll stay away from the semen jokes.
I think the Stabler thing happened either while I was gone and still reading celebrity gossip, or before I left, but I can't remember which.
Well, 13th season started in September.
Right.
So I don't know when he left the show exactly. You know the story behind the Stripster.
Right, so he was embroiled in contract negotiations, mm-hmm. so was unsure as to whether he was going to come back. There was also a period of time where they didn't know if Mariska Hargitay was going to come back.
Right, because she was also in contract negotiations, right?
And at one point, it was rumored that they were going to replace her with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. According to Wikipedia, they were going to add Jennifer Love. No, never mind.
Weird. No,
they were. Can I do a quick sidebar about Jennifer Love Hewitt, actually?
Of course.
Because today I found out some interesting TV news. Jennifer Love Hewitt is getting back into the TV game.
Thank goodness.
Is going to be in an ongoing Lifetime series, which is an adaptation of her TV movie, The Client List.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah, okay.
Well, I believe on our Golden Globes episode, I talked about Lifetime being the next...
Yep, there you go.
...next great drama series, producing the next great drama series.
There you
that
go.
That might be it. Right. That might be it.
I wonder how Bridget feels about this.
Were you out of the country when The Client List was on, the Lifetime television movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, I don't have cable, so...
So, Jennifer...
It's only when I'm, like, happen to be at Bridget's house.
It's about hookers.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Specifically, spa hookers. So it's
spa hookers. Hmm.
Supposedly just a massage parlor, but you know the story.
Yeah, happy endings.
It's a great television show. All right, so Moving back to the contract negotiations. Yes. So Mariska Hargitay, they ended up solving her contract issues. She signed back up. And then...
Plus, she had a baby in there somewhere.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think that was part of the contract negotiation. She didn't want to be working as hard because she had a new kid.
Mm. Maybe that's a big reason why she doesn't seem as much of a main character.
Yeah, that's actually... They wrote her into more of a supervisory role so that she wouldn't have to be...
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I also read that she was originally only going to be in... like the first 13 episodes of
that's me, sorry, we were so worried about Jerksica doing that
cell phone, that she was only supposed to be in like the first 13 episodes of the show, and then she was going to, her character was going to be promoted and not be on the show.
So okay, so when, so what do you think got Hargitay back, but what do you think was that supervisory role got her back but not Stabler?
I'm not exactly sure. Like, when I read about the contract negotiations, and I couldn't find the original article that I read way back when, but I think they both wanted more money.
Yeah.
And they probably could just only keep one around.
Maybe. Because they are the two, like, highest paid lead actors on a drama, on a right. TV drama, except for Dr. House.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think it's just House.
I think he's Dr. House as well.
House MD.
Hugh Laurie.
How about that? So his contract negotiations fell through in, like, May.
Yeah. I'm assuming what happened, and this is just me spitballing here, so don't quote me on it, even though we're putting this out on the internet for everyone to listen to.
Pure blogster speculation.
Right. This is pure speculation.
Bump, bump.
I'm assuming that maybe they both wanted more money, and then she had a kid and was willing to do it for either the same amount of money or slightly less money for less, like, a smaller role.
Right, less screen time.
And he didn't have any kind of, like...
I'm guessing the man just wanted to move on. I mean,
right.
the Muppet...
12 years.
Well, and the Muppet movie was coming out, and
yeah.
He could be...
Sam Eagle needed to appear.
He could That's be Sam true. The Eagle's stunt double. You know, he has a whole movie career ahead of him as a Muppet, so, you know, he just needed to move on.
It's very true.
But regardless, they didn't... Because he left between seasons, they didn't really have, like, a goodbye Stabler episode.
Right.
I think it's better that way.
It seems more true to the show's formula.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I thought, so I read about these contract negotiations while I was abroad, and then I totally forgot about SVU, and I was kind of sad, and I was like, what's going to happen to my favorite show? And then I came back, and it was on TV, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Like, they were both in contract negotiations, and I'm not sure who left, and I didn't really follow up on the story until I... actually watched the show, and I was like, huh, well, I guess I guess that's what happened.
You know, I think it's also interesting that I don't know if Christopher Maloney ever got nominated for, like, Golden Globes or Emmys.
He got nominated, but he didn't win. But Mariska Hargitay,
she's won. Been nominated almost every year, right? And
she won in 2006. Won.
Okay.
And she is the only Law and Order character, Law and Order regular to have won an Emmy.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that'd be a big pull for them to make sure she comes back.
So they ended up replacing Christopher Maloney then with two other detectives.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which Jess and I lovingly called last night Brownie and Blondie.
That's racist, Chris.
It's a hair color.
No, I think I called her not...
Oh, yeah, you called her not Olivia from Fringe, and you called him not Chuck from Chuck.
Yes, because I think that they resemble those actors. Although, I did tell you I thought that I recognized the new male detective, because I thought he had been on Law & Order before.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. He's new, but he comes to Law & Order from Cold Case, which is probably where I've seen him before.
Yeah, I've probably seen him on that as well.
Yeah, and the new female detective is from a show called Chase.
Oh, there you go.
I never saw that show.
Yeah, she was like a federal marshal and chased down, you know.
So, I think she just looks like
she
Olivia
does have
from
that.
Fringe.
Yeah.
But.
And she also has that general same kind of demeanor where she has to be kind of cold, but she's hiding something.
There's a lot of not, like, X characters
we said
on
Law
& Order. Like, a lot of actors that look like other actors, but aren't, and then you get confused. And because the show always features guest stars who you do recognize, you get really confused when you watch the shows because you're trying to figure out, like, do they
think
just
you
look
recognize
like this
everyone?
Person, or are they really the guest star?
Oh, yeah, that's why I think Law & Order, more so than any show, I always make sure to watch the credits post theme song because they reveal the names in there.
Guest stars are one of the things I love about Law and Order.
Yeah,
Harry Connick Jr., did you see that episode yet?
Oh, no.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't get that far?
No.
Oh,
is that the newest one?
Does yeah.
he play like a ADA or something?
Yes. Wait, is he the ADA or... Yeah, I think he's the new ADA. And him and Olivia, spoiler alert, totally get it on.
Oh.
Well, no. And by that I mean they make out at the end.
Right.
But, you know, it's
interesting
that
there's a show about sex victims, and yet you never actually see the main characters have sex.
Yeah. They should be able to do it.
Right.
I don't know.
That's always one thing that bothered me about SVU is, like, Olivia is always, like, the sexless.
Right.
Like, never.
Completely desexualized.
Yeah, kind of.
I get that, but I don't want any backstory, really, with my SVU. I mean, you had, like, the whole arc of her, and she found her, like, half-sister or whatever, right? Played by, what's her name with the dumb hat that you like? Maria Bello.
Oh, yeah.
With
the dumb hat.
Yeah, from her short-lived show. Yeah. But I generally, I mean, I like the formula of SVU. Like, you know them as the kick-ass detectives, right?
Right.
We're gonna solve the case no matter what. And that's all I really need. I enjoy the self-contained storyline. I don't really need to know about, like, Olivia's innermost feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I think
that's
that
true.
That's an interesting point because we tend to otherwise gravitate towards the serialized show where we kind of very much thrive off of finding out about characters' backstories. But
there's a space for that. There's a space for just the self-contained,
so you're,
you know, kind of guilty pleasure that
so
is.
So you're saying you're a proponent of segregation between serialized and episodic dramas. There shouldn't be a show that crosses between those two boundaries.
I don't think I should ever sign on to any kind of statement that denotes that I'm for segregation of any kind. However, I do appreciate. I think there's a limited space for that kind of programming, and SVU, like, fits the bill. It, like, hits the spot for me, and that's good.
Yeah, but I don't know. Could use a little more.
You know, I did find myself craving a little bit last night watching those four episodes.
Yeah.
I did like the. Even though it did become very hackneyed and cliched, I kind of liked the will they won't they Stabler Benson tension.
Yeah,
that really weird face.
No, that's exactly why my dad says he doesn't like the new season.
Yeah,
yeah, he's like, well, I thought they made such a good team, and I loved the dynamic.
Yeah, but I mean, at least just on a general, just like chemistry level.
But it wasn't like a Caroline in the City will they won't they. It was like they're friends. Why do you gotta? Dirty it all up.
Was there not tension between them?
There was totally tension. You could cut it with a knife.
Maybe that's it. Maybe in terms of segregation. I don't approve of human Muppet relationships.
Oh, whoa.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But let's talk about the other detectives, since even though we got replaced with these two newbies that I don't know if we can say much about yet.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I have to say about them is I'm not sure how I feel about the new female detective being kind of like borderline man-hating.
And she's like, always asking, how do you trust a man ever, Olivia?
Yeah. And Olivia has to always be like, well, I've learned a lot in this job, and...
That just provides Olivia with opportunities to reference her old partner wistfully.
Yeah.
So she'll say things like,
I once knew a good man.
Exactly. So, but they'll grow into some characters. I'm happy Ice-T is still around.
That's who I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And Munch.
I think that I was a little skeptical about the season before I started watching it. And I've totally come to the conclusion that Benson carries that show. But without the good supporting characters of Munch and Finn, that, like, the show would go nowhere, regardless of which main character they kept.
Well, and you need their comedic relief, but I don't think they need the kind of comedy that Gilbert Gottfried provides.
No, I absolutely adore the addition of Gilbert Gottfried. One of my favorite scenes we watched last night was between Gilbert Gottfried,
like technology,
who plays their IT guy, the stock IT guy.
I kind of like it.
I love the scene between him and the stalker of the actress.
Yeah.
The, that where, you know, at first it seemed like, oh, is the stalker the rapist? And no, of course not. He just...
And then they, like, out-geek each other.
Right, exactly. He ends up helping the case, and you realize for a second, wait a second, I'm laughing at a professional law enforcer's geeky relationship with a confirmed stalker.
Yeah, that was a humorous interchange.
See, I think this is the perfect role for Gilbert Godfrey because it's like just enough.
Yes.
Like, but not too much.
Without getting abrasive.
They'll like put him out there, but then give him the hook before he can like make it make himself.
Your reference to that episode reminded me of another thing I love about this show. So we love that there are guest stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love the self-contained episodes. I love how formulaic it is. But I also really, really enjoy that they base episodes on, you know, it's like ripped from the headlines.
Right.
And sometimes like
even though they all the stories are fictional and do not depict any actual person or event.
Right.
But the episode you mm-hmm. referenced was, you know, a theater production where the audience members are actually like part of the production, which is based on a real play in New York. Where the actors become part of the production.
Did a rape happen?
It's not based on it. It just sounds similar.
Yeah, we don't want to get in trouble with NBC, I guess.
Amy's our lawyer tonight.
Right.
But no, I don't think that part of it. But they do like take current events and kind of incorporate it. So
and they did that with the kidnapping episode, mm-hmm. where it turns out a Globe-esque news magazine infiltrates the voicemail of
yeah,
the
hacks
parents.
Their phone, yeah. hacks the kid's phone, and so the parents think that the kid's alive and checking voicemail. Right. And you know,
I was waiting for, like, I don't know, somebody like Philip Seymour Hoffman to show up playing Murdoch.
Yeah. Well, the first episode of the season was actually based on the hotel rape case.
Oh, Strauss-Kahn?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So,
not based on.
Yeah, not based on. But elaborate, please.
Dominic Strauss-Kahn, who, what's his...
Oh, you probably missed this.
Yeah.
This is a huge...
It is world news, but not the area of the world
right.
where you were.
When you only still have, Western. Like, 10 minutes on the internet at a time, do you look at celebrity gossip, or do you read the headlines?
we'll have to fill her in on...
Yeah, I guess we don't have to go into that now.
Yeah.
But, I agree with your... I think, I don't know what joy you get out of it, I particularly get the joy out of what Amy was kind of referencing, that they constantly have to skirt it just enough to make it not exactly like the true story or the news story.
Well, it'll just be a portion of it, like the hacking of the phone was part of a completely separate, like...
And if you're in touch with the news, it almost is like you can help predict the plot twists of the episode.
Yeah, but then they twist it just enough so then they're like, oh, this crime could have taken this other direction, and then it's like real life fantasy combined.
Speaking of predictability, that's another thing that I love about the series. Because you can guess exactly like who did it and why. You have the motive down within like the first 15-20 minutes of an episode. Because they give you signals, because one, it's either gonna be the guest star or whoever the guest star's with.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If the guest star is not playing the victim.
Mm-hmm. Right? So they always point that out. They always bring in some character that you would think would be the red herring, but just is straightforward the guy that did it.
Yeah. I call it the scream trick.
Okay.
Where they introduce Skeet Ulrich and you think, of course, he's the killer. And then as the story goes on, you think less and less that that's possible because it's so obvious.
Right.
And then it turns out it actually is that person.
Yeah. Well, and didn't you say, you know... A family.
So in my day job, I'm an English teacher, and we often talk about the intersect between TV and movies and the books we're reading.
Don't you wish you were in his class?
And one of my students talks to me about Law and Order in particular because her family gets together once a week to watch Law and Order, and her mom, she has like 4 or 5 siblings, and her mom always has a standing rule that if you can guess who the killer is, you get $5.
What?
Which sounds...
I would not want to play that with Jerksica here.
Yeah, actually, I'll be sure.
Yeah. Because I like to get into the story and, like...
I think I'm more like you, too.
Yeah. And Jessica's always trying to...
I'm competitive. I just want to win.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a contest between me and their, you know, wide swath of writers. So.
Yeah. But my favorite part about my student's tradition with her family is that she has a three-year-old sister, and recently her three-year-old sister guessed one for the first time and got it right.
We should look up who particularly wrote or directed that particular episode. Because, you know, that I think just proves my point. So easy to figure out, even a three-year-old can do it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
But here's the thing. It's like if you get wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
And I think you're less likely to do that. But if you get like a certain pleasure off of trying to figure it out. I think Law and Order writers, whilst not necessarily competent in other departments, particularly dialogue, they're pretty good at making it interesting enough each time that not only keeps you wanting to come back, but it keeps you kind of almost like hitting yourself, like saying, oh, of course it's that person.
Yeah. I do like the episodes where there's a twist at the end.
Yeah.
So, like, after the trial, well, and, you know, other shows have done this before. The Practice used to be really good at this.
Oh, you're totally right.
Yeah. Where, like, they'd be defending someone or, you know, on Law & Order, they're prosecuting someone.
Right.
And they get acquitted. Mm-hmm. And they get acquitted because they convince their lawyer, they convince the ADA, they convince the police that there was some reason that they're really not culpable for the crime. Mm-hmm. And then after the trial's over, you find out they're
I totally know what I did.
Yeah, and they're totally evil.
Or
and
vice
I love
versa.
It when they do episodes
See,
like that.
You know, I usually agree with you, but one of the episodes last night, I felt just like depressed me to all hell because they did this with Treat Williams as the guest star as an aging quarterback.
Oh, and that was really sad.
That was way over the top for me. I just couldn't
really?
Handle that ending.
You think that was too much?
I think they crossed the line there.
No.
Yeah, I did not enjoy that episode.
So Treat was not so much a treat.
Ew. though I think Treat Williams did a great job. Like most
Wait,
guest
so what do you think is the line then for Law and Order stories?
Okay, well I think that's a weird example in particular
they're
because
sad versus disgusting versus
right.
You know, there's like different
yeah.
different lines.
But I was talking to Jessica last night about misery porn, which is a TV critic term that's shown up in the past year or so, in which characters either do or experience horrible things for the sole purpose of the viewer to be sad and really no other reason. Because what other reason was there for him to kill himself on the courtroom's steps?
Spoiler alert.
It's a single episode. After going through that whole trial.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like they wanted some shocker.
Well, no, because he couldn't handle his dementia had been exposed to everyone.
He didn't think he was a bad guy.
No, I get that. But I feel like I would have totally gotten that if they just ended with the cameras in his face and him clearly visibly struck by it. I think Treat Williams is a good enough actor to just carry off that kind of quiet moment rather than going for the over-the-top thing.
Yeah, but we're talking about Law and Order here.
They've always got to go over the top.
I mean, this isn't Breaking Bad, Christopher.
Good
you know?
Point.
You're talking about a show where a district judge admits to raping someone as part of an online fantasy game.
Oh yeah, I raped her, but she wanted it.
They're not just going to show him like crying in the mirror with like Mad World playing in the
Who
background.
Am I?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I guess so.
You know, at least it's you know over the top. It's a twist, and I appreciate the surprise.
Okay. All right. Well, you can have your opinions, and I'll have mine.
Mm-hmm. So, are there other things about Law and Order as a show that you guys really, really enjoy, or you think makes it particularly fun to watch?
I wanted to pose this question: why do you think Law and Order is so successful over other crime shows like Cold Case or Criminal Intent? Or
here's the tricky thing:
that's a Law and Order.
Right, that's one of the Law and Orders.
Sorry.
The tricky thing with that question is that. It is without a trace.
That's a
good yeah.
It's a very popular show. It's one of the most popular, but it's still nowhere near as popular as either CSI or NCIS.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And
but it's way better.
I agree. I think it is much better. I think the thing is that we were doing this as we were watching last night is every time there was a zinger. Going back to my irritation with some of the dialogue, they'd have these zingers and you just want to be like, yow!
Yeah.
Like David Caruso in CSI.
So maybe if Olivia Benson would just start saying like, yow! Or maybe Ice-T could come up with a catchphrase. He could just be like, iced! Or something.
Or if there was like some accessory like the sunglasses to signify, here's a zinger coming up.
About Munch? He is like an accessory.
Yeah, it's true.
Signaling a zinger.
He's like a little pocket investigator.
He just pops up to zing. And he actually does have sunglasses. So there
you go.
But Amy has a good point because, I mean, NCIS, CSI, like those might be much more popular programs, but I think Law and Order is really inserted itself.
Tried and true.
Yeah, it's tried and right. true, and it's inserted itself into pop culture in a way that some of those other shows haven't. Like, I don't think...
Yeah, there's no bump-bump from CSI.
Right, I think more people would recognize the bump-bump than the, like, yow!
Right, yeah. Right? It's like you said, tried and true, and you said pop culture references. I know, Amy, you wanted to somehow talk about Sesame Street special letters.
Oh, my gosh! This is so awesome. If you have not YouTubed this yet, can I tell people to YouTube things, or is that, like, illegal now?
No.
Okay.
YouTube? Not illegal, to my knowledge. All right.
She's been gone a long time.
I have been gone a long time.
It might be illegal in China, but...
Yes. So is Facebook and other... Anyway, Special Letters Unit. Sesame Street did a spoof of Law & Order Special Victims Unit, which at first I thought was kind of over the line because a children's show making a parody
about a
sex crime show. Yeah. And I was a little, like... horrified when you guys told me about this, but then I watched it and it's so cute.
Well, because the kids don't get the reference, and right. it's fun for
it's for
parents.
The adults. Yeah,
I know, but as a parent, would you be like, "Oh, that's so sex crimes"? I don't know.
Well,
I like
they,
that would kind of.
It's not about sex crimes. It's
no,
about,
it's about letter crimes.
Right. As long as they don't say which letters semen is this, I'm okay.
Although my money is on W.
Yeah, I think the M and the W were getting it on.
They're both sick fucks.
Yeah. But the letter M goes missing in the special letters unit.
Right. And M for missing.
And all the Sesame Street characters have to find the missing letter M.
And it's all so the Muppets cute. Look like right. actors on the show.
And it's
which
very...
for Christopher Maloney would be easy to do.
I think it was him. I think he just painted
his face blue. Well, talking about like the iconic part of it, I mean, I remember it was very easy for them to also make a Muppet of Munch because I think he's been such a tried and true character since the beginning of Law and Order. And I actually wanted to make the point that Munch didn't start out.
I was just gonna say, did you know that he came from another show,
which we watched
Homicide,
which we watched a good number of episodes last year.
Well, because that those same people that did The Wire.
Yeah.
Did Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Right. Actually, David Simon has, like, it gets royalties every time Munch is on a new episode of Law & Order.
Oh, I didn't know it was that.
That he wrote the character.
Incestuous.
Yeah, it's totally incestuous.
That's pretty awesome. Mm. Well, and I mean, I think that Munch is a really perfect example of...
I think using incestuous while we're talking about SVU is really amusing, but I'm just going to leave that there. Go on.
Okay. the fact that Munch started out on a show like Homicide, which has roots connected to The Wire, and was kind of like the quintessential, like back in the 90s, the crime show that tried to be more than just a crime show. And even though it was formulaic and episodic, it had characters like Munch where he was a comic relief on that show as well. He very much kind of brought over some kind of, I don't know what the, necessarily if it's weight or what to Law & Order, but it makes it feel like Law & Order is much more easy to respect than a show like CSI or NCIS or any number of the knockoffs Without a Trace, Cold Case, etc. I think there is some kind of, not just tried and true because it's been so long, but I think there's a reason why it's been on so long, and part of that is because it's kind of a hallmark.
Yeah, I think the weight has something to do with it, but it's also just straightforward. I mean, CSI and NCIS have, like, that dumb, like, aesthetic of, like California sunshine and, like, all of the...
The, like, CIA tools. Yeah. It's like Mission Impossible meets Law & Order.
Yeah, and they have, like, weird technology that doesn't exist while they're conducting autopsies.
You don't know it doesn't exist.
All right, fair enough. And then you have things like Cold Case and Without a Trace that are, like, feature ghosts for some reason. Well, not ghosts, but, like, Cold Case, they'd always have, like...
The flashbacks,
and then Without a...
It's kind of like Dateline.
Just
meets.
Because it's from the past doesn't
well,
mean that
no,
the
but
characters
sometimes
are ghosts.
They'd have it, they'd solve it at the end, and you'd, like, see this, like, picture
like
of the
effects.
Person when they're young, like, fading away. And so, I mean, Law & Order... I mean,
there's
don't
no
get me wrong. Well, I was going to say, don't get me wrong, they have gimmicks. I mean, ripped from the headlines and, you know, all of that.
I don't think that's a gimmick. That's just, like, material. It's, like...
I mean, I think you could see it as a gimmick, but I think the way that, because we were talking about how they skirt it so much to make it not totally the same thing, that I don't think it necessarily is something that feels gimmicky when it does it.
Yeah.
At least most of the time. We talked about the Anna Nicole episode from a couple years ago, in which David Cross plays her agent or something.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one.
That was pretty silly.
It would be interesting to see, because, I mean, none of us, although we enjoy SVU, none of us really have watched the series, like...
From the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to talk to someone who has watched all 13 seasons to see if there really has been some kind of pattern of, like, the rise and fall of the show. Like, were there seasons where they tried to, like, sex it up or get more gimmicky or
well, we watched the beginning of the show back on Netflix, like we were talking about. We started with season one, episode one. But I think even going even further back, because 12 years ago now is only 2000.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy to think about, but Law & Order...
Again, we're old.
I know, clearly. But Law & Order, just the original Law & Order, has been on since what, 89? 90?
90. But, okay, I may not have watched it all, like, season or episode by episode from the beginning, but as someone who watches a lot of Law & Order, I can tell you that... I don't know if there have ever been seasons that are more gimmicky. And why? Because it's all the same formula, which leads me to believe that it isn't really, like, they haven't really kind of manipulated that formula too much over the years. Because if you watch an episode from season 2 and an episode from season, like, you know, 10, well, okay, 10 you can kind of guess because it's more recent, but, like... You know, you can't really tell the difference between...
That's true. The only difference is probably, like, backstory.
Yeah, or, like, whatever the headline is that they're ripping it from.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me
how
many iterations...
And Olivia's haircut.
How many iterations there can be of basically the same story. And not just, like, a crime story, specifically a sex crime story.
Yeah.
Or children. That's the other one. It's not always sex crimes.
But that brings up my question is, why do they sometimes deal with non-sex-related, like, kidnapping?
Because it's special victims.
Victims unit.
And kids are special?
You're a teacher.
But so is that what qualifies a special victims unit? It's sex.
Well, it's vulnerable. It's sex crimes and then vulnerable people. So like they've had episodes with vulnerable adults.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or children.
Like adults with mental disabilities or.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That clears up a lot of things for me actually, because I've always wondered, like, because when we were watching the kidnapping episode, you said that they just offhandedly mentioned, well, oh, it's in our precinct.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Or it's in
our jurisdiction. Yeah, because there was an investigating officer who I kept calling not Dennis from 30 Rock. Because again,
he was on Law & Order.
He
was on Law & Order, the original.
Dennis was?
Yes.
He was like Dennis from 30 Rock.
Yes, Dennis from 30 Rock.
He was like mayhem ads for Allstate.
Right.
Yeah, but he was actually like a detective.
We were wondering that last night because I was like,
that's a pretty steady one as well.
His brother or less successful cousin or something was playing this investigator. But anyway, yeah, he said something really offhanded, like they were like, why'd you call us to investigate this? And he was like, it happened at the corner, blah 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 blah. Your jurisdiction now. So yeah, I mean, I don't think they're real consistent with it.
Yeah.
Whatever fits into what they're doing.
But in real life. Do special victims units also deal with kidnappings and stuff, or is that...
What's real life?
Is this real life?
No.
I mean, I don't even know that there is a special victims
There is unit. A special victims unit.
Wait, in New York City?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's, according to Wikipedia, that is.
Yeah.
That's what Dick Wolf, because he wanted to name it Law & Order Sex Crimes originally.
Jesus, that's a little
That's
much.
Like really in your face. And then they decided to name it SVU after the actual unit.
Okay. I'd still like to propose the Whose Semen Is This title.
I know. Maybe
I think it's a little late for that.
I don't know. Yeah, they have a few seasons ahead of them.
Yeah, that's
true.
They did. How long do you think it'll go?
They did sign on for season 14.
Jeez.
And Mariska Hargitay, am I saying her
name?
Hargitay, whatever, is also signed on for season 14.
Wow.
And Ice-T.
And Ice-T. Jeez, that's amazing. If you had to predict, how long do you think this could possibly keep going? Yeah. It's a variation on predict.
Oh, okay. You're the English teacher.
I'd
give it at least two more seasons.
Yeah. I could see it getting to 20.
Really?
Yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, the CSI and NCIS keep getting more and more popular, and that's NBC's only, like, flagship drama.
Yeah, but I think eventually Mariska Hargitay.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Nice will eventually leave the show.
So you're saying, though, that if she leaves the show, that the show would be done? They wouldn't be able to transition these new detectives into lead roles?
After 13 seasons? 14, like, yeah, after 13 seasons, no.
But it's not as much about the character. So maybe it could. I mean, maybe they could survive.
Because the original Law and Order lasted 20.
Especially if Munch is there.
That's true,
but
Munch is
going to be there till he dies.
That's true.
Even if the show ends, Richard Basler would just stay on the set.
He'll just show up one day with pizza.
He'll actually be living in the remains of the...
Right.
Do you think there are writers for the other Law and Orders that, like, just bet wrong? Like, they got the choice between, like, Law & Order LA or Law & Order SVU.
But I don't know
actually,
how many...
Actually, the Criminal Intent director? Writer?
Something
or other? Yeah. Director-miter? He's actually working on SVU now because the SVU director-writer went somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I also don't know largely how consistent their writing staff is, because it seems like so many episodes are probably spec scripts from freelance writers, right? Because it's a episodic show.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I mean, I'm sure there's like the writer taking care of the backstory and stuff, but it honestly feels like similar to those other shows like CSI and whatever, that it's very easy any random person could have just written this script.
So you're saying I could write freelance Law and Order scripts?
Oh boy!
Don't get her started.
You created a monster.
Just saying, I understand the formula, right?
Uh-huh.
I understand what the audience is looking for.
Right, right.
I think this is a good career opportunity.
You understand sex crimes.
Bum, bum.
I like that we have a noise for awkward pauses now.
I know.
It makes things a lot easier. So, Special Victims Unit, Law & Order. Do we think that with the 13th season, it's still worth watching? I think we can all answer.
Yes.
However, does this necessarily make it quality television we can recommend to everybody?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think that's a...
Well, quality.
Wait, can you repeat the question?
Quality.
I think there's a difference between saying that, like, personally, I really enjoy and get gratification out of watching Law & Order Special Victims Unit. However, I don't know if, legitimately, if I were to call myself a TV critic, which I don't know if we can, but if we were to...
Hey, our opinions are valid.
Yeah, our opinions are valid. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily recommend watching the show to any random person. Not that anybody's not heard of Law & Order before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a slippery slope.
But if it's on, or I'm looking for, like, a self-contained...
Right. You've got to be
mystery,
in the right mood.
Then, why not? Why the X not?
Why the X not? Or if you're home from China for a month.
Right. And you have... only one thing that you can watch for some reason.
There you go. You don't have to really... Yeah, that's the other thing, is that it's nice because it does take a lot of concentration to watch and, like, get into the story and characters, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to care that much.
Here's an interesting question for you, Chris, specifically.
Oh, boy.
Your stepdad is really into every, like... you say episodic?
Yeah.
Okay, every episodic crime
or
investigative show, except Law & Order.
That's a good point.
He watches everything. I mean, Lie to Me, Without a Trace, Cold Case, I don't know.
The Closer,
Lie to Me is still on?
Technology, Hijink Gang, or whatever.
Leverage. Technology, Hijink Gang. I hope that's the new name of the show.
But not Law & Order.
Right.
Why? What's his beef with Law & Order?
I think he really enjoys the comedic, the over-the-top comedic relief of those other shows.
Mm. Okay.
And he likes, like, the smart-assiness. Like, if Richard Belzer was the main character, I think he'd be all over Law & Order.
Hmm.
Or Ice-T. Well, Ice-T, I think you can argue whether or not he's...
I don't think he's really comedic relief.
Not in the way he's intended.
He's just other kinds of relief.
Can I say real quick how horrible of an actor Ice-T is? Is that bad of me?
He's awesome.
His wife was on an episode that we watched last night that I didn't know until today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His wife, Coco.
Yeah.
Because they have their own reality show, which I've never seen, but Ice-T loves Coco.
Oh.
That episode we saw about the theater and the audience members are participants, she played one of the actresses in the beginning in, like, the first circle of hell.
Oh.
Like, the two women start making
just
out.
Just, like, randomly?
And one of them is his wife, Coco.
So you're telling me that he went home one night and said, hey, honey, I've got a part for you. All you have to do is make out with a chick for a couple minutes.
Yeah, how many takes do you think they did of that?
Let's roll it again.
Oh, I didn't get the right angle.
Okay, so I think we've talked ad nauseum. Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, is on TV.
And Law and Order, Special Letters Unit, is on YouTube.
And Law and Order, Special Gypsies Unit, is that one episode where they talk randomly about how terrible gypsies are.
Yeah, I didn't get it the whole time, because I was like, is this a stereotype I should know about?
It's like specific to that neighborhood in New York, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe, like, we're just here in Minnesota, kind of isolated from...
Ignorant. So I think here are the questions that we have for our listeners. Please weigh in on your feelings about Law & Order if you are one of the following. A gypsy, an investigator within the Special Victims Unit in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Or in Minneapolis, if we have one.
Do we? We'll find that out.
Yeah.
We'll start it up.
And...
We'll start it up.
And or a loyal watcher of SVU that's been around for 13 seasons.
Yeah.
And or a judge who likes to wear a goat mask and involve himself in an onstage rape during a play.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe this is the Venn diagram of people. Right. So you can be the and ors.
Yeah.
But let us know.
In the meantime, you can check out the written version of The Blogulator at theblogulator.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, keyword Blogulator or hashtag Blogulator. Not hashtag, at. I don't know how to use that crap.
Again, we're old.
We're old. Anyways, thanks to Fancy Pants Gangsters Network, as always, and per usual,
our opinions are valid. It's the end of Law and Order. Dick Wolf, aware in America, rocking a cheap sheep suit. Pull wool, we through, stay on course to pull over by that full port.